Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. You know what time it is? It's time to get raw like denim. I meant to say raw, but then I said, I noticed the last time I added it sounded like raw. Anyway, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast. That puts you to sleep more like a purring than a roar. And this episode is made possible with the hard work of Chris Postal from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode, did the theme music, Jonathan Manns on the lullabies, Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen, whether it's whatever podcasting app you use. Make sure you're subscribed. It'll be there automatically for you. And the listeners have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank the moderators over there, Julie and Jennifer, Laura, Stacy, and Keith, and Summer and Sarah. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, you have all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever has been keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical feelings, sensations, stirring of emotions, whatever is keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones, the creaky dulcets, pointless meanders. I've had a few. And, you know, I'll be drifting, especially tonight. Tonight will be the most drifting in the ocean currents, if you will, to this evening. Not in an actual way. This is a hybrid episode. It's an on-location, but without the non-ambient on-location episode. So it should appeal to everybody, but it may sound a little bit different because I have my on-location equipment. But yeah, here's what I offer. So this is a podcast of which you sleep. If you're new here, the structure of the show, 5 minutes of business. That's how we are able to keep this podcast free and all the archives free. Then we have about, what do we got? let's see. Then we have an intro. Usually intros are somewhere between 10 and 14 minutes. I don't know how long tonight's intro will be. Because I haven't done, I just started it. this is a podcast. And then tonight we'll be talking about the Sea Life Aquarium in Orlando, which I just had a tour of, and now I'm behind the scenes here. I wish I had a water microphone. I don't know. I mean, sure, there has been. Jacques Cousteau's probably broadcast. The Cousteau cast. Whoa, boy. There you go. There's the next podcast I'm doing. And they said, well, that name's trademarked. And I was like, well, okay. Well, the faux Cousteau cast. How lucky did I just get that? One of my favorite words, faux, rhymes with Cousteau. I mean, talk about a childhood dream come true. But before we get to the faux Cousteau cast, let me get this intro out of the way. So if you're new here, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, a podcast to put you to sleep. Here's the thing. One, it's a podcast you don't really need to listen to. You're under no expectation, obligation, assumption, or I guess my dream is that you use it however you need to use it. But, most podcasts, the good podcasts don't really demand your attention. They don't demand it, but the content itself, in the wondrous creation of the content, it demands your attention in the soft power demand way instead of the, I don't know what the opposite of soft power is. Is because a hard-boiled egg and a soft-boiled egg aren't opposites, Like a hard-boiled egg and an egg are opposites. Maybe they're not even opposites. No, they're the same thing, just in a different state. Oh, thanks, Plasma Brain. Came right in there with the assist. I was just trying to give the new listeners. So this is a podcast, clearly you don't need to listen to it. But you can for a little while, and ideally I draw your attention in. I don't even demand it. because I didn't mispronounce demand. But I like to take your mind off stuff to distract you from whatever's keeping you awake. I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I try to create a safe, welcoming place that's so safe. This is that's how safe this podcast is. You see, this podcast is so safe I don't even need to listen to it. Holy cow. And so it takes your mind off of it. You know, you'll listen to me for a little while. Tonight's episode will be pretty immersive, if you don't mind me. Assuming it will be when I get, you know, because I'm about to do it. But here's the thing. It's a podcast which is sleepy. You're really under no pressure to fall asleep. I try to make the episodes an hour. So you say, huh, I got plenty of time to fall asleep. I could just sit here and listen to Scoots and hear him fill us in on this tour of the aquarium under the sea. I know Scoots loves that song. He can't sing it, but he does love it. You know, just you and me. That's where you'll find me or whatever. I think that's a different song. But and I got to get off the song before I start. Holy Sebastian, keep moving, Scoots. Don't slow down. Okay, let's get back to foe. Let me see, I'm just distracting myself now so I don't start singing that song. Get back to talking about Faux Cousteau. Actually, that could be a character, but it, like in ambient episodes or on-location episodes without ambient. This is the first time I've ever done an on-location, non-ambient episode. I do have a reference recording going. That's what I usually use to record the ambient sound. And I'll explain that in a minute. Let me get the new list. So this is a sleep podcast you don't need to fall asleep to. You could, and hopefully you will. But it's more a keep you... It's, I guess I could have called it the Keep You Company cast. But then people... Like, that would have been even more confusing than Sleep With Me. The Keep You Company cast. Because it's meant to kind of be your friend when you're having trouble getting to sleep. Because I know what it's like tossing and turning. I've been there. And... It's not fun, and you deserve a good night's sleep. So I made this podcast to try to put you to sleep, but eventually, some people fall asleep in 2 minutes, and some people don't. They listen the whole time, because I'm here to keep you company. They're listening to the Keep You Company cast, even though it's titled Sleep With Me. And I guess that's like the luxury I get as a maker of the podcast, is I get to make the whole show and lose the audience as we go along. And I get to be there for everybody, you know, whether you fall asleep in 1 minute or whether you're going to be here the whole time. I'll be here, too. I'll be taking you on this journey. And I got no idea. I mean, I have a map in front of me and I have a bunch of notes that I just got a tour. And we'll see how it goes. I'll try not to use a fake Jacques Cousteau voice because I'll try to not spend too much time remembering the few things I know about Jacques Cousteau. And Steve Zissou, and maybe I'll even remember the name of that movie, Life Aquatic, that's what it was called, right? But here's the thing, let's see, podcast to put you to sleep, we do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest, as I said. I think that kind of covers it, but I am a little bit like a... I wonder if do you think one day I could do, I guess I couldn't do a podcast. I'd need to do it from a submarine. And then it would just be like, that wouldn't be the same as doing it actually underwater. Because if you're actually underwater, then you need the thing in your mouth, whatever that's called, the breathing apparatus. Look into the finance box just to check my status, by the way. A little pandering, because we're under the sea. What better thing than a fish shout-out when we're here talking about sea life? Because that's where I am. I'm at the Sea Life Aquarium in Orlando. And I'm going to take you on a journey, a meandering journey, as it is. And that's what every episode tries to take you on. So that with every bending turn, you have permission to close your eyes and drift off. But if you can't, you know, if you're out of town, maybe you had whatever's keeping you awake. I don't want to go through a list of litanies. Have I named a book that yet? Because I think who would be best? Whose story would that be? I mean, I can think of a few people whose. A list of litanies. We'd have to soften it, you know, because I'm not into those hard books. I mean, not hardback books, but. You know, books that are, you know, I'm about this new friendly movement or whatever it's called. I think, like, I think the guys at my brother and me, and Jesse Thorne, and everyone, like, that's a new movement. Being nice is crazy. You have to. I think they have a new sincerity movement, I think it's called. And I'm sincere. I mean, like with this podcast, I'm a sincerely troubled individual. I'm also sincere about my dream of starting the, Cousteaucast, the podcast that puts you under the sea. We do, actually, let's roll right into the episode, because I think, I'll try not to use a Jacques Cousteau voice. I probably will think about, I think it was a big NBC special where they did a Cousteau reboot, maybe, during my childhood. But first, I want to get you settled into the Sea Life Aquarium here. So I'm glad you're here. This is what I say every episode is. So if you're new, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. It's different. I'm strange. Or if you want to be nice about it, Scooch, he's a little bit different. He's an odd bird. He's a bird without a flock. Right? But I do have a flock of sleepless people I'm trying to help put to sleep. I'm speaking to the schools of fish. I guess check my finance box. Like I said, just check my status. If you look at him doing his podcast under the sea, he's got a breathing apparatus. So anyway, if you're new here, I hope this podcast can help you. Like I said, give it a few tries. Most of the reviews of skeptical, there's a lot of people that were skeptical about this podcast. First of all, it's called Sleep With Me. Second of all, you're listening to me talk. You say, well, this isn't like anything I've ever heard outside of a clinical environment or a movie, a recreation of a clinical environment. Usually recreations of clinical environments, they try to get to the point too. So if it was a dramatic, they say, well, there wouldn't be someone doing that. And then pausing and then saying, well, what was I talking about? The Cousteau cast? Oh no, I was trying to. So if you're new here, give it a few tries. If it doesn't work, I'm sorry. And you can email me, dearscooter@gmail.com, I think is my Gmail. That's my Gmail account. Still having trouble with the main email, but, I can tell you about LibriVox books, Pink Noise. I've been testing a lot of Pink Noise out. And tonight you may hear some Pink Noise I haven't looked up the definition of Pink Noise yet. Yeah, I'm not here to talk about different, the colors of noises. There's another one. What was the first one I was going to call? A litany of lists. My life as BuzzFeed editor. There you go. That just wrote itself. Get me a BuzzFeed editor, and I'll ghostwrite it with you. A litany of lists. My life as BuzzFeed editor. Because they have a lot of lists on there. I think there's even a site called List. Isn't there just a listing sites? I bet you that'd be pretty good. Who wants to do? I'm not into exposés, so it couldn't be anything. It would have to just actually. Yeah, my life as a BuzzFeed editor does feel like an expose. It could be new sincerity. I don't know. We'll work on that. I got to do a sleep podcast right now. So that's it. I want to say I'm glad you're here. I think I've been trying to say that for about 4 minutes. And I hope I can help you fall asleep. I appreciate your time. So thank you so much for stopping by. And as I always say, I really yearn and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Right, hey, everybody. Welcome to, we'll be into the faux Cousteau cast. I'm about to sneeze, though. 1 second. I'm back. Sorry, I just sneezed. Welcome to the faux Cousteau. I like to keep it real here. Real slow and gentle, lapping waves of the ocean or the gulf on the beach. And I'm here at Sea Life Orlando, right off of I-Drive. I don't think it's... I guess it, at some points it would be in the shadow of the Orlando Eye. And I wanted to thank Sea Life Orlando for hosting me here and giving me a tour. I want to thank the Dalton Agency, and I got everything set up there through everyone over there. And I want to thank Dipka for setting all that up and setting everything up with the Orlando Eye. And I want to thank Jennifer for the tour she gave me behind the scenes here at Sea Life Orlando. And this isn't a sponsored episode or anything. They just hosted me. Actually, I was the one that reached out to them to check out the Orlando Eye, which was an episode that came out a little while ago. And so I'm really glad they said yes, because I really like doing these things where I can get immersed behind the scenes of things. And Sea Life Orlando, like I said, it's right off of I-Drive, which I had the pleasure of walking a large portion of it yesterday. Location scouting for, you know, what we'll do next down the road, the next time I can make it here. But Sea Life Orlando, their quote is, "Get closer, dive into an amazing underwater world." They have Florida's only 360-degree tunnel, which has incredible views, and you can get up close with moon jellies and different kinds of cartilage-based sea creatures. I don't mention at bedtime, even when they're cute little baby ones, which I saw those cute little baby cartilage creatures. They were really cute, honestly. And they have seahorses, 30 breathtaking displays. So there's a lot to see, Pacific octopuses. It's really well themed, the aquariums here. There's rays, there's 12 theme zones. You get to touch anemones and starfish. And, I like how they have a 360-degree, the only 360-degree tunnel here. And the area around here, I had no idea, it was so developed. I really missed out on my view of Orlando and what this podcast can do over the next 3 or 4 years with Orlando has really been reborn at all I think there's a lot of really cool stuff. So it's cool. They have, a bunch of places to eat around here. And it's called the view, 360 view or something, because then you have the 360-degree tunnel, then you have the 360 degrees of the Orlando Eye. And when you're in the Orlando Eye, I don't know, what's a spherical view? Is that 360 degrees, or is that 360 degrees times pi? Now, this is a Sea Life, I think, was the 6th aquarium in the U.S. They have 50 worldwide locations. And Sea Life partners here in Florida with the Marathon Turtle Hospital, and they're always trying to rehabilitate and return sick and injured sea turtles to the wild. And in here they have two male sea turtles, Ted, which is, funny because my brother's name's Ted, and Ted's the extroverted sea turtle, and Shelly, C-H-E-L-Y. Shelly's from the Atlantic Ocean and Ted's from the Indian Ocean. And here at Sea Life, they have portions that are dedicated to the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, and then the local Florida waters. And, sea turtles can live for over 50 years, taking over 30 years to reach maturity. And, like I said, they have the Pacific octopus, and those are intelligent. They can even remember people's faces. So I tried to introduce myself to the Pacific octopus, but it was sleeping. Said, even in my aquarium life, I'm putting octopi asleep. But let's go with this faux Cousteau cast. I'm not going to use a voice, so I'm going to turn it over to the host, deepest scooter. I'm going to turn it. Hey, ladies, are you in the deep, up all night, tossing and turning, wondering about the depths of the ocean, or wanting to immerse yourself in the oceans of the world? Well, welcome to the faux Cousteau show. Or as the owner of the Sleep With Me podcast calls it, the Cousteau cast. I'm Deepest Scooter, and I'm here to take you on a journey through an aquarium. So your eyes should already be closed as you feel the faint motion of the ocean. And that even faint motion of the ocean here on the Cousteau Cast. And we just get to explore the ocean via the Sea Life Aquarium here in Orlando. And it started in the oceans of the world at a pre-show where we were surrounded also 360 degrees by fish swimming in circles. And they had three stripes. Each fish had about three stripes. You know, I'm speaking in generalities. I can't speak for everyone. V-like tails, very V-like tails. And they were swimming around and around. And you might say, Scoots, which direction were they swimming? I say, well, that's a fair question. And I did note that they were swimming in clockwise direction, which for all of our friends in Australia and in the southern hemisphere of the world, it does bring up the question, at your Sea Life Aquarium, will the fish swim clockwise or counterclockwise? And I guess, like, you know, because I live a Sisyphean lifestyle anyway, I guess if they said to me, Scoots, the people at the Sea Life Aquarium, they said, you know what, I think they do have high ethical and moral standards, but if they said, hey, what are some ways you think you could experiment, you know, in a safe way with the fish of our aquarium? I'd say, well, tell you what I'd like to do is get these fish, to see if I can get them swimming in the counterclockwise direction, just to see if we could do a pre-interview and a post-interview, or, you know, some sort of brain scan. Okay, and then that's when, I would pitch them on that. See, well, it'd be good for the folk who Cousteaucast to say, let's get you swimming in the counterclockwise. And then they say, actually, they do. I'd like to try to, how do you plan on doing it? Well, I think what I'll do is I'll get in there and I'll start swimming in the counterclockwise direction. Also, I'll paint three stripes on my side. I think I will put, I don't have, like, you know how they have, do they have any adult male size mermaid tails? I got, my daughter has a mermaid tail, like, that she can swim in. It's actually, like, swimmable. So maybe I try to get one of those, paint some stripes on my side, and, like, swim with the fishes, and then see if I could get them to follow me. And I guess, like, I'm seeing it the same way all of you say. It's probably not very realistic, you know. And I say, okay, I guess you're right. It's probably not very realistic to think the fish are going to follow me clockwise, counterclockwise. But, yeah, that's where you start in the oceans of the world, and then you enter the Atlantic Ocean as the first. You go through this ocean cave. And there you could see, I saw something, and again I said, well, I don't know, is this an archetypal creature, but it was long and green. And I said, it looks like it's got like a moss growing on it or something. First of all, here's a question. Is there undersea, I guess this is a founder and host of the Folk Cousteau Cast. I guess I'm painting myself in a corner, because if you say Folk Cousteau Show, you kind of are committed to that. Cousteaucast those are two totally different rings. You know, there's the Cousteaucast. I like that better for a podcast. The Folk Cousteau Show, that would be more in my busking days. If people start living under the sea, and then you can also become an undersea busker. Hey, what is who's a busker right now? He's really famous. My daughter likes him. Ed Sheeran. I can't say his last name. Ed Sheeran. I want to say Sheeran. Ed Sheeran, I think. I just listened to him. I heard him on the radio. And he said he's been busking since he was 12. I wonder if he's interested in autobiography. Undersea Busker, maybe a movie, not an action movie. It could be, I don't know if it would be dystopian. It'd be pretty utopian living under the sea and having him busk. Undersea Busker, kind of like paper, we'd get something like Paperback Writer. Maybe just get Weird Al on the phone. See if Weird Al could dress up like Ed Sheeran. Sheeran, undersea busker. Do a. Okay, sorry, I just got interrupted by all of those people's representatives. I should have never agreed to the brain tap. But yeah, so there was a beautiful green, long, slender creature. Very beautiful. Like the kind of green you only see kind of undersea. Like, because I don't know if you can picture it in mind. So you've got, like, you've got green. Then you have the color of limes, which is not lime green most of the time. Are you with me so far? I don't want to get on, I don't want to start a litany of lists here, but when you look at, or when I look at limes, and I do consume a lot of limes, there's a few things I love more than sparkling water with a lime in it. Holy moly, especially ice cold, but not too much ice if you're serving me. Holy, I guess once you start a Cousteau cast, you get pretentious. But really, like, because if I go to a bar with people that, like, and I can only drink, well, I could drink soda, but that's not going to go well because I like to have about 35 drinks because I get nervous. So then I can only drink sparkling water. But the thing is, this sparkling water, it's so much ice in it. But this is when I'm fixing drinks at home. I don't know if I use ice that much, but I will have a nice lime in there. My point is that those limes are not, like, those limes are green. But then when you're selling green, like, lime green is a much different color. It's almost like how come they don't call it avocado green? I mean, I guess that would be slightly, you're right, it's a fair enough, it is a different color. But what I'm thinking of is this undersea green. You know what I'm talking about. It's not quite neon, and it's not quite lime green. Is that what seafoam? I think seafoam's got blue. It's not an electric green, but this like the place on land you would get closest to it is certain mosses. But you know it when you see it. It's like a bright. Bright's not the right color. It is though. It's bright in its own way. Green, how about this one? Green a steam cast, building up the steam of green everywhere. I mean, I don't know how, if we worked with a lime, you'd see, no, you're just you, man. You're not lime green. I don't know why they called it lime green. I mean, I've seen some limes that look lime green, but you're bold green. I guess I'm not good at, I'm not a colorist for sure. So I was looking at that, and in that same tank, I think that was in the ocean caves at the beginning of the Atlantic Ocean. There was also like some crustaceans in there, lobster and crabs, and they look cool, and they've been under the water for a while. You know, they got their camouflage going, and they look very, very good. And then I have a note that says med. S-E-R, which I don't know what that means. But yeah, there was crustaceans in there and really, really nice looking creatures. And I was trying to think of like the green creature was just resting in like a log, like a hollowed out log. And just chilling, sleeping there, but the water was moving, and, you know, it had the bubbles aerating it, and something kind of creating a sea-like motion. I don't know when they, I forgot to ask, like, how they keep the tanks so clean, but they're not, you know, they're clean, but they're not, like, but they're real. I don't know what you call that, sea life, I guess that's what you call it. Then we moved on to the jelly wall, and this is popular. This is a popular place with kids, these jelly walls full of jellyfish, and they were round and translucent and pulsating, floating. Who thinks that a jellyfish is like a bird, even though it's nothing like a bird? Or who thinks if a jellyfish could sing, they would sing "I'm like a bird," and that might be the song they would sing. But the jelly wall also has It has like a multicolored lighting so that you can change the lighting around. And it was like, so especially now in the age of picture sharing, you know, however you like your picture shared, you know, you say, well, I prefer an Instagram filter. And they say, well, an NF, are you an NF person? Are you filter or no filter? I'm talking about your pictures. And, or are you a Facebook, or are you still like, you still keep your pictures to yourself, or do you just share them? Like my family, we use a messaging app, so we share most of our pictures now on our messaging app, just because it's, I mean, I don't want to get controversial here in the middle of a podcast, but you know, there's a lot of people that are, well, first off, I know this isn't an interactive show, but does anybody know what agnostic means? Because I mean, you get family members, especially my family, like that refuse to use certain platforms, and so then you say, well, how are we going to communicate with one another? Because some people that, well, I don't text, and so one of my brothers, I've talked about this on the show before, but one of my brothers, he said, well, we just use one of these messaging apps and we could communicate. And the one we use, you can even meme things. So that makes it even more fun when somebody posts a picture, then you can meme it. What was my point? For the wall of jellies, I highly recommend standing in front of them. And then you can choose your color, a deep, deep green or an ultraviolet purple. And you really get drawn in, and especially the children to see, you know, nothing looks better than translucent and like, what would you say? I think it's saying a jellyfish is gauze-like kind of cheapens its beauty, but I don't, like, I'm not too familiar. Oh, diaphanous. Thank you. Holy vocabulary score for the wind. So diaphanous. I might just say that. What about that for a middle name? Diaphanous or pet? I guess it would have to be a fish. It would have to be a pet you don't call very often. Diaphanous. I really like that. But you're right. They are very diaphanous as opposed to gauze-like. Say, which would you rather be, gauze-like or diaphanous? Well, but you could stand there in front of the jelly wall, getting your pictures and really staring at them. As I said, they fly like birds, like on the thermals, they float. And really, I'm one of those people, I could stay there all day and just watch them. They do flutter when you're watching them. And then they have their little tendrils that are drifting. And then there's particles, and then there's flagellas and flagellate. I don't know if there's flagellation, but there's pulsation. Flagellas or whatever I'm calling, they're probably, I don't know if they have cilia, but there's pulsating, there's vibrating, and I don't know. They talk about a dream. Like jellyfish are just so. Like, again, I think the platypus just gets way more coverage as like a something that's like a, I don't know, when you think about evolution and all those things and how surprising it is, or when you think about science fiction and when people write science fiction, and when you get under the sea, it really is, and again, not to go, like, to get back to the Cousteau cast. But when you get to back to the Cousteau case, I guess I forgot what I was going to talk about. Oh, like, when did the undersea stop becoming a priority? Like, remember, family, like, they had the New Atlantis movement they were working on that episode of TNG. But, you know, Jacques Cousteau, where did you go, Jacques Cousteau? How about that for, what if we just, are Waldo books still big? What if we go in on that territory, like a hidden picture book? Again, I'm patenting this as I speak. Where did you go, Jacques Cousteau? So many good rhymes, ways to rhyme with Cousteau, which is already a poetic word in of itself. Also poetic, not just poetic. I mean, I think maybe we could do a multi-release. Like, we'll do a book, Where Did You Go, Jacques Cousteau. Maybe get someone like Carly Simon, I'm thinking. Or Carole King. Yeah, we could get Carole King to do a song, Where Did You Go, Jacques Cousteau, with the Mystery Bard. And maybe I don't know if we could get Bob Dylan. Maybe not. What do you think about Bob Dylan and Ed Sheeran and Under the Sea? What was that one? I forgot what that project was going to be called. And maybe we get a podcast. You know, right now Finding Richard Simmons is big. Maybe we could do season two of that. Where Did You Go, Jacques? And they say, well, Scoots, I hate to state the, and I say, well, I'd like to avoid the obvious. Let's get back to the Sea Life Aquarium, where after the jelly wall, you get into this shipwreck. And I guess the nice thing about going to a themed aquarium is the level of immersion you can get when you're already being immersed under the sea. You know, they get the lighting right, so they have the mood lighting, and, you know, your focus is being controlled by the lighting and the theming. So you get into this shipwreck room or shipwreck zone, and the outside and the inside of the tank, the theming is aligned, and the lighting highlights that, and the flooring, it was plank wood floors. To kind of carry you along on that journey. And that was full of our cartilage friends. So that was cool to see all of our friends covered in. And I said, hey, you're made of the same stuff the middle of my nose is made of, I believe. I think that was what they taught us in grammar school. And you really are friends, just because you have this reputation given to you by pop culture, you know, you're cool. And I say, well, how do you feel like when you go in a circle, do you prefer clockwise or counterclockwise? But yeah, then you get in, you go from the shipwreck and I said to Jennifer, who was giving me the tour, I said, but you, I didn't say I'd like to have my wedding in here, but I was thinking, actually, I think I'd like to put my bedroom in there. I would love to live in an aquarium, especially, you know, for the Cousteau cast. If I'm going to be making that, I'd like to do that. So yeah, after the shipwreck, we go into the Atlantic Ocean, and you go from there into a coral sea environment where you could see within the coral sea. You know, you got your clownfish and your angelfish. And I know kids love to go there and say, well, those are the real life versions of the fish I know from the films. And say, yeah, those are nice fish. They look good. And they sit there as the water bubbles and time passes. And even there was even like I noticed some of the theming. There was a tank that was like arching over the head, just like an arch, like the bottom of a bridge. And I don't know. I'm a big fan of theming things, so I thought that was cool. And especially like when you're in an aquarium to be immersed, you know, it's got an overhead and it's a very. School friendly because they have a lot of field trips here. I can't imagine. I don't know. Again, I wonder what I would do with time travel, and I don't think it would be the best use of time travel to come back here and relocate my family to Orlando. But I can't imagine, and I know there's one of these in San Diego as well, but I can't imagine we're coming on a school field trip to a Sea Life Aquarium and getting to go through and look at all of this. And then they have talks. They have educational talks. Like today, they have talks where you get to interact with the divers as they're under the water at the shipwreck thing. Then they have a talk about amazing seahorses. Then they talk about wonders of the Indian Ocean. Then another conversation with the divers. Then they have something called the Stingray Shuffle. A talk on Octopus, the Master of Disguise. A talk called Cartilage Buddies, our good friends with Cartilage. And I think maybe the Cartilage Buddies, they could have, We All Have Got Teeth or something. Maybe they could do that. They also have presentations around feeding the stingrays, a thing with the divers, a presentation with a scuba diver, called the Pacific Ocean Feed, an octopus enrichment. I don't know what that is. Say, hey, here's $40, go do whatever you want. They say, well, it's an enrichment, it's not a supplement, Scoots. Stingray feed, an Indian Ocean feed with divers, seahorse feed, Pacific Ocean feed, and then an Indian Ocean feed. So they're doing pretty well. Some of these fish are eating twice a day. I don't know that's one of the complicated things about having an aquarium as a kid. Yeah, the whole idea of don't overfeed your fish. And they said, well, that's the only time they're interesting, to be honest, when they're in a fish tank. That's the most interaction you get with them is when they're eating. And then I guess with six kids, so we didn't have a lot of fish. There were times we had fish, and, there were times we didn't have fish, too. And I think that was one of the issues was, you feed them those flakes, So how can you overeat fish flakes? I don't know. But let's get back to the aquarium. So after the arch, they had a presentation about all the coral restoration they're trying to do here at Sea Life, and their team is working, trying to restore small colonies of coral. And they were showing these kind of like sculptures, and they were trying to make the coral stick to it, these little bits of coral. It was cool. And, I mean, coral's something we really got to pay attention to, obviously. And, to keep our oceans, full of life. C'est la vie or something. I don't know what Jacques Cousteau would say, but he would probably say something like that. And he would say, he'd turn over right now. He's probably turning over right now. Or I don't know. I don't know what Jacques Cousteau's farm status is. That could be another area. I don't know if we do. And I don't know. This would probably be like Jacques Cousteau's undersea farm. It would be our salad bar. Wherever I'm playing the Cousteau cast. That would be where the Cousteau cast eats lunch, Jacques Cousteau's undersea farm. Also right by there were the baby cartilage creatures that say, hey, we all have teeth. And I think eight of them had been born here around the holidays, and they were all in a little tank, these little babies, or whatever, they're 4 or 3 months old. They'd grown a lot. But they were still like hand size, and they had little stripes. And then I had the pleasure of meeting their mom later, and they were in a tank. Most of them were sleeping. And then I got close and I said, hey, you made a cartilage just like the middle of my nose. You go up all night tossing, turning. Well, you're in the ocean. That's why. Come on, get with the program. And I think they can roll their eyes anyway. That's like a natural feature. Or what's a new thing people say? It's a feature, not a defect or something. I mean, that's the story of this podcast. What do they say, though? It's a feature, not a bug. That's what they say. It was a bug, now it's a feature. That's what I took my lesson. I can't get to the point. What am I going to do? Just keep on, keep on going, keep on. And they said, well, you could stop talking. You could get to the point. A lot of people in my life have said that. Or, that's not a really good way. That's good, better for a podcast intro. But, come on, don't tell people to just get to the point. Use a little bit more soft power language with that and say, hey, what do you think about getting to the point? That would be more of like, that's a little passive aggressive. How about you get to the point? Well, I'd say this. How about you get to the point of my friends here, these baby creatures of cartilage that live under the sea, and they have gills. They swim with me. Whether you go clockwise or counterclockwise, they're our friends. We get a chance to hear about the backstage tours or behind-the-scenes tours you can take here. There's like a shorter one and a longer one. And then you can get to see, you know, all of that goes into maintaining an aquarium full of sea life. And everything they're doing here, you know, with the coral and the sea turtles and things. So you can learn even more. But and then I just kept thinking about, man, I think if I was, maybe my school did do something like that, and then I decided, I think that's what probably it was, like, if I did go to a school that took field trips to places like, okay, kids, if you're listening, don't remember, don't be like Scoots. Feel bad for Scoots. Don't be like him. But I think if we did do one, I would try, like, I would have been thinking about it for weeks ahead of time. Well, I think what I'll do is first when we like I would have had unrealistic expectations about coming to an aquarium. So I'd have been like, first thing I'm gonna do is ride a sea turtle. And then when I'm done, I'll go swim at the, will we get scuba tanks right when we get there? They'd probably be my, they'd say, well, it's not the time for questions, young man. Well, I'm just wondering when we're going to get our scuba, when are we going to put our scuba gear on? They say, well, you're not. Okay, next question. How many seahorses will I be able to take home? Yeah, because I'd like to get, I'm thinking, like, how many, what's the top speed a chariot? Like, with two seahorses, what's the top speed you can get going on a seahorse-driven chariot? Because I'm trying to decide between that and a seahorse stagecoach. It's not there. It's got the alliteration, but it's not there. But I'm thinking about that. And what time are the seahorse turtle rides? I have been saving my money, so if that's an extra charge, I'm happy to pay it to ride a sea turtle. Okay, and they said, and then they'd be like, you're here to learn about the sea creatures, not to we don't do any of that here. Okay, one last question. I heard about a surrogate mother program with an octopus, like where an octopus will adopt you. Adopt an octopus? No. I'd like to be adopted by an octopus, not adopt. Well, it's just where you pay $10 a month. No. I was thinking I'd like to have an octopus as my. Okay. So that would have been like the beginning of most field trips. That's what it was like for me. Like I said, when I went to see Return of the Jedi for the first time, I was wondering, I said, well, when are the Grimmarian guards going to get here? Like, are they going to be the ones that escort us to our seats for the movie? And this isn't something I'm making up either. I said, okay, what time is Luke Skywalker? Will there be, like, is there a show before this? I also thought there would be like a toy store set up, so I brought money to buy a Grimmarian guard. I don't know why I was obsessed with Grimmarian guards so much. I think just because, I don't know, I got fixated on them. Always wanted to own one. I got a Grimmarian guard mug for my birthday this year, so that's the closest upper I come. So back to the aquarium, the holy sea meander. How about that? A sea meander. What kind of creature would you be? Oh, actually, I got to finish up my why my school stopped doing field trips story. But I think, if I would have gone on a field trip, I guess the TLDR version is I would have tried to stay behind. Like, I would have been, but I probably would have, like, chickened out at the last minute. I said, well, where am I going to hide here? Like, should I hide under these rocks, or maybe I could hide behind this? Yeah, and then I'll live here at the aquarium. I'll get it, I'll get in the water. I'll come up with some, and then at some point they'll accept me as, that's Squid Boy. Yeah, he once was a boy. Octopus became his mother. He became a Squid Boy. We realize it doesn't make any sense, but he did. He, uh, he did kiss a sea anemone, and we suspect we're just humoring him while we wait for his parents to come get him. It's just a kid. He tried to climb in there's a tank we're cleaning. There's not even water in it, but he's in there. He thinks he's Squid Boy. Well, actually, you might think it's funny, but one day I'll start the Gusteau cast, and I'll really show you. But yeah, I would like, I don't know, I was always one of those kids that said, well, I'd like to live here. And I tell you what, this is a great field trip, but I am talking about a life trip. I'd like to stay behind, and if, again, kids, don't listen to Scoots, you know, but I would, this is a place I could see myself, like I said, in the shipwreck area, you know, get a bed right in there. Think about it, the bubbling of the tanks, the gentle motion, the moody, multicolored lighting. Maybe combine, I don't know how this would be for the jellyfish, but maybe convert the, like, see if we could get, like, the jellyfish tank to also be a plasma TV, so then I could just turn it on and then turn... I think, what was that, Silver Spoons? He might have had some of this stuff in his bedroom. I think he had a race car bed, but pretty close. Okay, so after... So behind-the-scenes tour, let's get back. You're right. And after that was the 360-degree tunnel, and holy cow, you walk in, and that's just one of those things where you, and it's 360 degrees. I guess I was confused when I set this up that it was only going to be like 180 or 280. I didn't realize it was a 360-degree tunnel, so I want you to slow down for a second and think about what that means. It's a 360-degree tunnel. And it's the only one in Florida. And I thought, well, I've been in a 360-degree tunnel before. No, I haven't. I've been in probably like a... Well, definitely like a 180. That'd probably be most tunnels are like a 180. Maybe, yeah, I know, if you're Pythagoras, you probably say, well, it's actually 210 Scoots. Say, okay, well, this is 360 degrees. And what made it... So they have two sea turtles here, rescued sea turtles, Shelly and Ted. And what Jennifer was telling me was that Ted's very friendly, and we'll definitely see Ted. Ted lives over in the Indian Ocean. Shelly is a little bit more shy, much like Scoots. And so I don't know if we'll see Shelly. And she said that she had not seen Shelly in quite some time. And lo and behold, we step into this 360-degree tunnel, which at this point I still was living under the delusion of my past tunnel experiences. And who's sitting there? I mean, this was straight out of like a... and this was there's no animatronics. This is 100% real-life sea life. There's Shelly, the sea turtle, floating there, looking at us, swimming... like we're looking at the back of Shelly's turtle, where like that was being, you know, where they were helping the turtle, and swimming alongside and swimming right up to the side of the tunnel, and then Shelly the sea turtle goes under our feet, and that's when I realized, wait a second, if my math was wrong again, 360 degrees means It's totally encircling us. So Shelly the sea turtle was underneath us, swimming underneath our feet. And I could not believe my eyes. It was so cool. Like, my feet were tickling. And I said, and then I realized, the floor was like these clear kind of lucite strips. And then underneath that was the, the tunnel part. And then underneath that was the aquarium. And so my mind was really blown. Also, it's just cool because the way it had worked out to watch Shelly the sea turtle go under there was cool. And then we entered into another section where it was called the Seahorse Temple. And that was cool because it was themed around the Indian Ocean. And so lots of sculptures and giant busts of statues, like humongous ones. And then sea turtles, like, hiding out in the sea grasses. And I guess, like, again, like, as a kid, I would have been like, well, you can't, how do they show you pulling a chariot? You're way too, and they say, well, it's pulling a chariot with a fish king in it, not a boy. I say, okay, well, I'm going to need a lot more seahorses to pull my chariot, probably thousands. But it was nice to watch the seahorses and their, like, their tails, their corkscrew tails, or their, I guess they're more spiral, you're right, it's not a corkscrew. Their tails, holding them on the grass, and they were undulating, I guess, slowly with the motion of the water. Really cool, really, really cool. And then the rest of the Indian Ocean was really well themed. And then there was this giant bust of, it looked like some sort of beaked humanoid, like about probably 15 or 20 feet high. And underneath the beak, who was chilling under there? Humongous, humongous sea turtle named Ted. A turtle named Ted. That could be that if I was going to work on that. Turtle named Ted. Ted the Turtle story. Where did we say, where in the world is Jacques Cousteau? No, that was Carmen Sandiego. I forgot. Where is Jacques? No, Frere Jacques. I forgot what our book about Jacques Cousteau is going to be called, but that's fine because this is a Cousteau cast. So yeah, the next stop on the Cousteau cast was the Stingray Cove after traveling through the Indian Ocean. And, you know, right by there was the mother of the cartilage babies. She was their species or whatever. Which one is the species? But they were bamboo cartilage friends. So that was nice to meet her. And I said, great job. She was also asleep. So it'd be a bit of a theme with me. Like, but in also this whole area was full of families, like having fun and experiencing sea life and getting down, you know, because a lot of the windows and these little bubbles to look in the aquarium are all at kid height versus adult height. So really, really perfect. And then there's a lot of educational, like supplemental signs or animated creatures explaining things and some games, like interactive games for the kids to play. But then in the Stingray Cove, now this is always a hit with a lot of people. Like there was sea stingrays like on the surface, kind of flapping and swimming, and because of their two mouths, it looks like they're smiling. And they like came right up to me, and they were wide awake. They were also swimming. There were some like they were going clockwise and counterclockwise, I think. But then listeners, and if you listen to the podcast for a long time, you probably, maybe you know about this, maybe you don't, but there was a horseshoe crab in the tank, and I could not believe it. I got a giant star I'm looking at, and an exclamation point on my notes. I said, there's a horseshoe crab in there. Holy cow. And if you're not new, I mean, I guess I kind of talk about fixation a little bit already tonight, but I don't know, there was another thing as a kid in my science book that I got fixated on was horseshoe crabs. And I said, one day I am going to, I think I was hoping to get a horseshoe crab as a pet and then also find a shell to wear as a helmet. And then, you know, I guess instead I kind of dedicated my life to living the life of a hermit crab that's living inside of a horseshoe crab. But I guess I like also because Syracuse didn't have any ocean, I assumed that like every beach you went to was like the beach from science. I think that's probably a universal experience, like from something from science or social studies in grammar school or what do you call it in the like elementary school. That you're like, oh, okay, this is... So when I went to the beach, I was expecting to see a lot of horseshoe crabs because I was fixated on them. The first beach I went to, I believe, Ocean Beach was like... beach on the ocean was in Long Island. and there was no horseshoe crabs. And I may have even double checked, and probably the whole 6-hour drive out to my aunt's in Long Island. And she didn't live on the beach, but I said, when are we going to go to the beach? How many horseshoe crabs? Like, do you think I'll just see, will I have to just, like, search the sand and I'll see, like, the path of a horseshoe crab and then I can follow it? And then, you know, I'll catch up with the horseshoe crab and hang out, you know, befriend it. And how's that going to go? And, you know, like, I just want to see, like, and even, I know science books say they're totally cool, but, you know, they don't, I mean, they look cool in, like, an extreme way. So I'm just wondering if they're actually extreme. And needless to say, I did not see a horseshoe crab that trip. And I guess I'm trying to think, maybe, I don't know, but like anytime I see a horseshoe crab, it's rare. I don't, and actually I'm not positive I've ever seen one, but I saw one today and I said, holy horseshoe crab, what a joy. And I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of my host, Jennifer, so I didn't like squeal loud, but I did. I wrote it down. I said, I can't believe it's a horseshoe crab. And it came up and it was like walking like partially on the ground and partially on like the side of the tank. So I got to see its underside and its tail. And again, what a wonderful thing this and this sweet Mother Nature is, the sweet, sweet evolution that it takes these turns. And we could see these miracles like jellyfish and seahorses and horseshoe crabs. So I saw that and I saw a stingray and there was lots of other fish friends. And then we went into the Everglades where they had the local turtles and the local fish and the local waters. And that's another spot. I'd like to get a swamp boat and get out there. You know, that'd be another time. But I didn't ask for a swamp boat here. But the Everglades is another, you know, beautiful part of Florida. And then they had a playground. Now, it's for children only, but it was I think that's, like, brilliant. Especially when you're having school-age children. Like, now, right now, I'm in the classroom, and I'm sitting at a desk and recording where the kids would probably watch a video and, you know, remind them not to tap on the glass. And, oh, this is probably where I'd be asking, like, what do I get to write? Because I actually have both of my pockets. Well, now they're wet. I had plastic bags full of water. So I could take a seahorse home with me. Is that allowed? So that was that. And then was the coastal rock pools. And this is where you get to touch the things. And my host and the young man working, and I said, do you want? And I said, no, I would prefer not to. I got to touch a microphone later, so I don't really need to touch anything. But they had sea stars and sea anemones. And I said, now wait till you hear that there was a green sea anemone. I mean, talk about a perfect podcast word. How come I can say anemone, but I struggle with so many other words? Anemone. I don't know. That is a very podcasty word. Sea anemone. But they had this other one, so they had a green anemone, and then they had a strawberry anemone. And I said, that is, I don't know, at the time I was fixating on that, so I said, well, that's a great word. So a strawberry anemone, and the reason it's called a strawberry anemone is because when it closes up, it has like little white spots. It was like a pinkish color, but then when it closes up, it has a white spot, so it looks like the outside of a strawberry. And we also learned about the regeneration of the sea stars, that they can fully regrow their limbs within about a year, and that if it's a large enough piece of limb, that they can regrow an entire body from it over time. That was impressive. I said, holy fiction, you know, science faction, holy moly. And one other thing in there, which was another, like, maybe that'll be the title of this episode, was the staghorn sculpin. Staghorn sculpin, and that was sulking at the bottom of the, it was a sulking staghorn sculpin. Yeah, I did work that in, but it really was sulking there. And the staghorn sculpin can breathe on land because it lives out there in the tidal areas. And it can be on a sandbar when the tide goes out. So it has to be able to breathe, it has to be able to breathe until the next tide comes in. So the staghorn sculpin. So if you need words, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, words of the day would be, you know, obviously horseshoe crab, delusional, you know, that would be scoots. And you say, what is scoots? Well, anemone, strawberry anemone. Anemone, you know, how about we change from frenemies to anemones? Well, don't they? Well, strawberry anemone, and then staghorn sculpin. It sounds like a, I guess if I was a Western character, I'm staghorn sculpin. You betcha. I rode into town on a couple of seahorses and. That's it. I'm starting the cast. What's on your head? Is that what kind of hat is that? Well, it's a horseshoe crab helmet, actually. Staghorn sculpin's the name. Strawberry sea anemones is my game. I have a game named after them. We toss. They're not real anemones. But so that's it for our journey through the Sea Life Aquarium. Again, I want to thank everybody here for having me and giving me the time to check the aquarium out and be able to present it here. And to do an experimental one where it's like, okay, this is, I get to go to a location, but this should have some white noise in the background maybe, but it won't be as, it won't have the ambient noises. So, sometimes we'll have ambient episodes and maybe sometimes we'll have these on location ones. So I hope you're floating in your bed, a gentle motion. Slowly carrying you off, like the gauze-like translucent diaphanous surfaces of the jellies floating and pulsating across the ocean like a dream. They're a bit like clouds, you know, puffy, dreamy clouds. Floating across and giving you a good night's sleep. Good night.